Welcome to Living Waters Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this life-changing message.
This is second part two of our series, The Joy of Christian Giving. And I'm going to need to juggle a few things here for obvious reasons. But I just want to say to you, I just need to reiterate, a lot of pastors struggle to teach on finance. I don't. I love it. So I'm just saying. but I have struggled a little bit because, especially when things like last night happened in the Middle East. And the thing about it is, I'm saying to the Lord, yes, we have Vision coming up, Vision Sunday's coming up, and you know, I need to just remind us once again of what your word says, creating a biblical foundation and a biblical context for kingdom stewardship, financial stewardship, because that's what it's all about. It's not about a false prosperity gospel. It's not about a bless me club. It is not about give me, give me, give me. For those of you who've been part of our church for 5 seconds, you would know that that is not who we are. And that's why I have no problem talking about finance, because I do it from this. Amen? I don't have my wallet on me. I was going to say I don't do it from that, but you know, I do it from this. So, but I struggle a little bit because I'm like, you know, Lord, is this really where we're at the moment? And it's a slight rebuke. Yes. You know why? Because I had a conversation in the first service, kind of confirmed what I was thinking. We don't know how long what we consider to be money will be money. We don't know how long what we consider to be financial transactions that you and I are familiar with will continue to be financial transactions. We don't know. But what we do know is that it's still where it's at right now. It's still what it is right now. So we have got to have a clearer understanding of heaven's perspective when it comes to our natural resources. Because this is what the Lord has whispered to my heart. It's part of his gentle rebuke. Your finances are part of your spiritual warfare. Just as much as prayer is, just as much as worship is, just as much as discipleship is, just as much as witnessing is, just as much as loving one another is, what we do with our finances also represent what heaven does in the arena of spiritual warfare. So this is why in these days, you know, does anyone else think that we are really living in the last of 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 days? We're not talking about 1159. We're talking about 1159 and 1559, whatever comes after seconds. I don't know what comes after seconds, you know, it's whatever. Dot, 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 you know. But praise God. Amen. We're saved. Amen. Amen. We're part of the body of Christ, amen? We're part of the collective of the believers, amen? Amen. And that's why we can't be going and hiding away in a little, no, or cowering down in fear and uncertainty. You know, this is, Lord, you see, I told you, this is when children of God are going to be the light and continue to be the light, continue to be the light, continue to be the salt. And I'm telling you right now, one way that we continue to be light and one way we continue to be salt is with what we do with our money. Right. And there's no two ways about that. We need to come to terms with that, especially Brits, man. What are you talking about? All right, let's just go for it. 5 minutes already gone, just like that. The Joy of Christian Giving is the title of our message. Title of our series. Why the joy of Christian giving? Why not just the joy of giving? Is there a difference between Christian giving and any other kind of giving? No, there isn't. But there is a difference As in, there is no difference as in the concept of giving, but there is a difference depending on who is giving. And the difference is in place because there are two types of people in this world, in the context of giving: those who are yet to be saved and those who are saved. When those who are yet to be saved give, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. But those who are saved, as in you and I, who are followers of Christ, give, it is an eternal thing. And it is an eternal thing with an eternal significance that has eternal consequences, because you and I are in an eternal covenant relationship with an eternal God. I loved, Nick, what you prayed. God hasn't promised us an easy life, but he has promised us eternal life. Amen. I bought it. I've copyrighted it. Powerful, Nick. Amen. I love that. Amen. And that's the difference. And in that same vein, there is great joy. There is great joy in giving. But why? Why is there joy? Well, we gave the first reason last week. First of all, there is joy in Christian giving because it is an expression of the grace of God. Our God is a gracious God, amen? And because he is a gracious God, he is a generous God. In fact, one could argue that the two are essentially the same thing because they are both inextricably linked: graciousness and generosity. And because God is a gracious God and a generous God, he expects us to be the same. He expects us to be the same, and he enables us by his grace to be gracious people and generous people. In fact, I believe that we resemble our Abba Father the most when we are being generous givers. Why? Because our generosity is an expression of God's grace. For God so loved the world that he gave. Everything that we are as followers of Christ, everything that we will ever be as eternal, spiritual and redeemed beings who will live for an eternity is predicated on the generosity of our God. Everything here is built on the generosity of our God. And that's why we have the great commands. For you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. What is the foundation of his generosity? Love. So when we look at it from that point of view, and you think, well, what exactly does the Lord need me to do in this arena? Well, let's just pray that the Holy Spirit will help us. Generosity is inextricably linked to grace. So we get joy, and we must be joyful because giving is an expression of his grace. So last week, we worked our way through the following scripture, 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 to 6, and I gave an exposition verse by verse. So that's still on YouTube somewhere. So I'll encourage you, if you haven't watched it or listened to it, it's online on our website as well. But today, in the time we've got left, we are going to look at the 7th verse of that passage. So 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7. And it says, But just as you excel in everything and lead the way in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in genuine concern, and in your love for us, see that you excel in this gracious work also. So the second reason why there is great joy in Christian giving is because Christian giving is a charisma. It is a spiritual gift. It is a spiritual gift. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, is basically saying, look, guys, the Macedonians excel in this gift of giving. So I'm just saying to you, in exactly the same way that you excel in faith, You excel in compassion. You excel in speech. You excel in love. I want you to excel in the gracious gift of giving. I want you to excel in the gracious work of giving. It doesn't call it a gift here. It calls it a gift elsewhere. So therefore, like all other gifts, we have been called to excel in this gift. But how exactly does this truth demonstrate that there is joy in Christian giving? I'm going to skip a few things, and I need to bring that point very, very shortly. But before I do that, let's just take a closer look at verse 7 again. In verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 8, his instructions to the Christians in Corinth is that they should excel in everything and lead the way. As Christians, God expects us to excel in everything and lead the way. Now, to excel in everything means to have a spirit of excellence or a mindset of excellence. Now, let me say this to you. This touches every aspect of your life. God is, he looks at you and I, and he says, I just need you to excel. Not because he's testing us, but because there are standards that need to be met, and there are standards that need to be kept when it comes to our interaction with heaven. Now, excellence is not perfection, because excellence can be achieved, but perfection can't be. We can ascribe for excellence in every area of our lives, but not perfection. We will be perfect when we are changed in the twinkling of an eye at the sound of the final trumpet, when the dead in Christ rise and we meet with one another in the heavens to be with the Lord forever. We will become perfect. But right now, we ain't. But we can be excellent. And the author Edwin Bliss said this: the pursuit of excellence is gratifying and healthy, but the pursuit of perfection is frustrating, neurotic, and a terrible waste of time. The slavery abolitionist Booker T. Washington said this: excellence is to do a common thing in an uncommon way. Excellence means doing a common thing in an uncommon way. So it's very clear to see that there is a firm connection between generosity and excellence because of what excellence or to excel means. Just very quickly, to excel means several things. It means to abound. It means to overflow. It means to go above and beyond. It means to exceed. It means to be abundant. It means to have surplus. It means to live in prosperity. And I'm talking about true biblical prosperity. So when we excel in the things of God, when we are demonstrating a spirit of excellence or a mindset of excellence, effectively we are going beyond the expected measure. We are doing that which is over and above. We are overflowing. We are truly walking in prosperity, and we are doing things well. Church, the church of the 21st century needs to do things well. Not because we want to look good to people out there, but because we want to look good to the one to whom it actually matters. We want our lives to truly glorify God. Amen. We want, as living sacrifices, we want our lives to truly glorify God. So if I am not doing things on the same wavelength as Christ would have me do those things, then I am functioning below the standard of excellence that he expects me to be operating at. And that affects every area of my life. And the wonderful thing about excellence is there's always opportunity and room for improvement, because it is a lifelong process. And so long as we just don't settle with mediocrity. No child of God, mediocrity and a child of God is a contradiction. You have God living in you. You have God living in you. You have God, church, you have got God living inside of you. You've got God living inside of you. You've got God. I'm trying to define him. All I can say is you have God. You have Almighty God living inside of you. Doing things below standard, doing things in a mediocre way, it should never even come into the definition of Christianity. But is giving actually a gift? Romans 12:3-8 helps us answer that question. Romans 12:3-8. I've got some exegesis. I've got some. I was going to break it up a bit, but I won't have time for that. But I'm just going to read the text, and it says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, Paul writes to the church in Rome, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Verse 4. For as we have many members in our body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Lord, I need to park there. You see, we are many members, but of one and the same body. And this body, of course, it is the body of Christ. But it goes on further. It says here that we are individually not only members of Christ's body, but of one another. We are not only, it's emphasizing, when scripture says things twice in two different ways, it is really trying to drive home that point. We are the body of Christ, which by very definition of what that means, yeah, we are interconnected. But he says, not just are you part of the body of Christ, you are part of one another's bodies in the spiritual sense. I have to go on. Verse 6. Then having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Church, let us use them. Don't let it stay dormant. Now, if prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith or ministry. Let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts or encourages in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So here we identify seven gifts of the Lord given to his people through his Holy Spirit. Prophecy, ministry, teaching, encouragement, giving, leadership, and mercy. So the answer is, of course, yes. Giving is the gift, a gift of the Spirit. But not everyone has the same measure of faith. Every one of us, I believe, have been given the gift of giving, as well as the gift of prophecy, as well as the gift of ministry, as well as the gift of teaching, as well as the gift of encouragement, as well as the gift of leadership, as well as the gift of mercy. But all of us operate in that gift at totally different levels because we have all received a specific measure of faith that is based upon who we are before God. And what our assignment is. I have an assignment on earth. It's different from your assignment. You've got your own assignment. You've got your own calling. But the reason why my assignment is important to you and your assignment is important to me, and the reason why the fulfillment of my assignment is important to you and the fulfillment of your assignment is important to me, is because we are one body with one another. So what I do affects you. What I don't do affects you. Amen? Amen? Consequently, what I give affects you, but what I don't give affects you. So what is Paul trying to say to us in Romans 12? We do nothing in isolation. Amen? But when we do what the Word of God says we should do, the way the Word of God says we should do it, the body of Christ is congruent. It is operational. And what happens then is we find ourselves consistently living under an open heaven. Why? Because the body of Christ is not dysfunctional. The body of Christ is in right standing with God. And we have the symbolism of that when John the Baptist, his cousin, is saying, I need to be baptized by you. Jesus said, no, you need to be baptized. No, Lord, I need to be. No, John, you have this backwards and forwards going on. And eventually he's, I'm going to baptize you. And he baptizes the Lord. And what happens? We have an open heaven. And out of the open heaven, we have the voice of the Father. We have the affirmation of the Father. We have the Spirit of the Father. We have the blessing of the Father. This is my Son, of whom I am well pleased. Why? Because Jesus demonstrated in that moment perfect righteousness. A body that is not dysfunctional, but in right standing, which also means right order. And as a result of that, Christ Jesus lived under, perpetually under an open heaven. That's why he could walk around and not pray for the sick and the sick would be healed, because heaven was where he was, and where he was heaven. But if for whatever reason, I'm not doing what I'm meant to be doing and you're not doing what you're meant to be doing, whether it's in the arena of love, whether it's in the arena of mercy, whether it's in the arena of compassion, whether it's in the arena of faith, God says there's a problem here, guys. That's a body I don't recognize. Fix it. Quick. How, Lord? Be excellent. Don't need to be perfect. Just be excellent. Amen? Amen. Plane is landing. I have to share this because I shared it in the first service and it made me laugh anyway. So note that each one of these gifts is dependent upon the measure of faith that you've been given, as I've said. Now, faith, as we know from Scripture, is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Faith, of course, is also the confident expectation of good. Why? Because God is good. But then it goes on to tell us in Hebrews 11 that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must first believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So faith is simply you and I, first and foremost, believing in the existence of an almighty God, and then trusting based on that belief that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Therefore, if for whatever reason you and I struggle with unbelief, we are effectively struggling to believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And we are struggling to believe that because consequently we are struggling to believe in his existence. We just don't admit it. That's a very serious thing for a born again Christian, because God lives in you. But this is the struggle. This is the dichotomy between that which is. This is the struggle between that which is spirit and that which is of the flesh. So I coined a little phrase. I will share it with you anyway. I can't wait. I don't know how you're going to receive it, but I'm excited. Okay, here we go. Therefore, I don't even know why I'm laughing, because it's so serious. It is so serious. But I just thank God, because he's a merciful God. Therefore, unbelief, all right, let me just read the scripture again. So, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because he who comes to God must first believe that he is, amen? Comma. and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So, to believe that he is a rewarder of, he's going to reward you because you diligently seek him for whatever reason, you have got to believe that he is. And by believing that he is, you are exhibiting a faith that pleases God. Therefore, unbelief can be described as a person having a mild case of atheism. Oh, I told you, atheism, yeah. Because that's what it says. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must first believe that he exists. If, what do atheists don't believe? That God exists. So what does our unbelief say every time that we unbelieve God? Well, we unbelieve God. We don't believe God. Effectively, a tiny, tiny little print. Not big, because we love Jesus. Amen? But somewhere down there, tiny little print. Little print. Do you really exist? It's the word of God, eh? Can we now see why unbelief is a sin?
Yes.
And it's not, the Lord isn't saying this, guys, I know you're going to struggle with this. I know that unbelief is a challenge, but you have got to overcome it. And you overcome it by not walking in the flesh, but by walking in the spirit. You overcome it by trusting in me regardless. That means not leaning on your own understanding, because your understanding will question my very existence. We might not admit it, we might not say that's the case, but every single time we are faced with a challenge, we have an accuser that says, I challenge you to believe God. And if you don't believe God, then effectively you are saying that the God in whom you say you believe does not exist. That is how serious unbelief is. I told you I don't know why I was laughing, because it's very, very serious. But that's not your portion or my portion, child of God. This is why you just need to simply rest in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, which is a living faith that says everything that is in the written word must come alive in the life, in the heart, and in the mind of the child of God. So we rely upon the Holy Spirit to do that, because he's the only one who can do it. But church, in the days that we are living in, your faith is going to be brought into significant question. This is why with giving, I said Christian giving is Christian giving is a key to supernatural living. And we are going to have to learn how to live supernaturally. Just not only for our sake or for the sake of our families, but we need to learn how to live supernaturally for the sake of everyone in our world, every single person in our sphere of influence. He is still the God who multiplies the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. He is still the same God who gets coins out of the mouths of fishes. He is still the same God who supplies every single one of your needs and my needs according to his riches in glory. Through Christ Jesus. But all of this requires you and I just... The only reason why unbelief will be a fight is if we're in the same ring with it. I just want to step out the ring and say that, bye-bye, see you later. You carry on. You carry on doing what you're doing. I'm off. I don't need to struggle with you. If I want to wrestle with anybody, I'll wrestle with God. If I want to wrestle with unbelief. That's taking all of my time now. I'll conclude. Why exactly is there joy in Christian giving? Well, what I'll say to that is, because on the basis of Christian, on the basis that Christian giving is a spiritual gift, it emphasizes the reality that says you are in a partnership with Almighty God. You are in partnership with Almighty God. So therefore, church, it is a wonderful thing to know that God, the creator and possessor of all things, is willing to partner with you. This revelation alone should fill your heart with great joy. Because when we partner with God, we make his concern our concern. We make his burden our burden. We make his purpose our purpose. And when this happens, he makes his supply our supply. And with his supply, we will resolve his concern. We will alleviate his burden and we will fulfill his purpose. But without the supernatural enabling, without the gifting, without this partnering, without any of those things, this partnering will not be possible. You see, each day the Lord seeks to do wonderful and amazing and unusual things through your life, through your time, through your talents, through your gifting, through your treasures, and all for his glory and his good pleasure. So just as he seeks to do amazing things through the gifts of faith and speech and compassion and love, he wants to do great things through the gift of giving that is on your life. The Lord is looking for people to whom he can entrust his resources. Men and women who will do common things in an uncommon way. Who will do usual things in an unusual way. Men and women who will excel in the gift of giving. See, God has no problem blessing you with incredible financial resources because he knows that if he can get it through you, he will get it to you. Excelling in the gift of Christian giving means being a channel and not a reservoir. Now, oh, it's true, reservoirs have a good purpose, especially in the time that we're living in. I know that they said in the last days would be like the days of Noah, but this is ridiculous. We've had more rain than we can handle. But still, our reservoirs apparently are not full. Therefore, still, we might be hit with a hose pipe ban. So reservoirs do serve a good purpose. They serve a decent enough purpose. But the Lord doesn't want us to be reservoirs. He wants us to be channels. Because wouldn't it be wonderful if our water supply didn't have to be regulated? I want to say to you that God's power and God's provision is not regulated. If we are reservoirs, it will be. But if we are channels, it won't be. And God wants you to be a channel of everything that he represents and of everything that he has. Why? Because that is what will give him the greatest glory. And that's what we're about. Amen? So, we're going to bring our time to a close, and there's a number of things that we're going to go back into worship. So, let's all stand. Let's all stand. Nigel, thank you. Father, we love you, and we thank you for your presence. Before we go into worship, as we close in worship, I know that the hour is gone. Thank you for your patience. I also want to say, if there's anyone here who doesn't have an assurance of eternal life, I want to explain to you exactly what that means. My friend, you are a spiritual being. You're not body, soul, and spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul, and you live in a body. And you were created by God to be in fellowship with himself. You were created by God to have a relationship with him and to fulfill a specific purpose. You were created by God to be with him for eternity, for an eternity, in an experience that cannot even begin to be described to you. The problem is with sin. Sin separates us from God, and sin therefore has separated you from God. What is sin? Sin is basically going against God's word. Not just going against his word. That's the most simplest way I can describe it. And it's a very serious thing because God is a just God. He is a righteous God. He is a holy God. And he wants you to be with him. But if there is a sin problem in your life, as there was in my life before I came to Christ, then it needs to be dealt with. It has been dealt with, and that's what Christ Jesus did for you on the cross, what he did for all of us. Jesus came and he died on the cross, like he said he would, so that the penalty of your sin and my sin can be put upon him. And what's that penalty? Death. Hence the reason why he died on the cross. But he didn't stay dead on the cross. He was buried in the grave and he rose again on the third day like he said he would. So therefore, Jesus died on the cross for your sins, but he was raised from the dead for your salvation. The only reason why you and I can be saved today is because Christ is alive and he has the power to do so. So that is the gospel. That is the good news. You now have a choice. You can either accept that good news or you can reject it. If you accept it, then you are going to spend an eternity in the presence of God for an eternity. But if you reject it, then you won't spend an eternity with God. You spend eternity somewhere else in the place that the Bible calls hell. And it's not a very cool place. It's not a play of words. It's just very hot and horrible. And it's a place of eternal separation. And I want to say to you, heaven is indescribable, but it's not just about getting saved and waiting to go to heaven. God wants you to have fellowship and a relationship with him right now. He wants you to experience eternal life right now. And he wants to use you to change lives and to transform lives and to fulfill your purpose, eternal purpose, right now. That all of those things come with the package of salvation. So I just want to reach out to anyone in this room right now. Maybe you have never given your life to Christ, but today you want to do so. Or maybe you did once give your life to Christ, but you've walked away from him. For whatever reason, you backslid. You're not walking with the Lord, and you want to come back to Jesus. If you fall into any of those two categories, if I'm speaking to anyone in those two places, I want to say to you that you have a moment, an opportunity right now to just simply give your life to Jesus. And we're going to help you in that process. So what we'll do is we're going to pray together. And this prayer in itself doesn't save you, but this prayer is the confession of faith based on what the Lord is doing in your heart right now by his Holy Spirit. So if you're ready, we're going to pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sins and in my place. Today, I give you my life. And I ask you to wash me clean and to make me a new creation. Jesus, I confess that you are my Lord and my Savior. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and you rose again on the third day. So from this day, I make you the Lord of my life. And I give you my life for the rest of my life, from here to eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God praise. Amen. If you pray that prayer, I'm just going to ask you to do something really simple. We just want to bless you, recognize you, honor you, and help you with some literature. So can you just ask you just to raise your hand, please, if you pray that prayer? You pray that prayer. Amen, 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 amen. I think you did too, young lady. So yeah, come on now, come on. Let's give God praise for that couple over there. Amen. Come on, welcome to the family of God. Is there anyone else? Anybody else? Scanning the room. Don't put it off, friend. Don't put it off. Hey, one more. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody else? Come on. Amen. Well, okay, church, let's just pray. Everyone who responded, team is going to help you afterwards just to give you some information. But let's just wait on the Lord together. Father, we love you. We won't have time to go back into worship, but we're just going to bring our time to a close. Father, we want to thank you now for your presence. Lord, help us. Lord, I've kind of communicated this the best way I could, but I pray that I shared what you needed your people to hear. So, Lord, I pray now that each one of us will lay hold of this truth. And, Lord, where we need to be encouraged, we'll be encouraged. Where we need to be challenged, we'll be challenged. Where we need to be a bit of both, we'll be a bit of both. But either way, Lord, I pray that you will continue to supply the grace that will enable us not only to work it out, but to live it out. And Lord, I pray and ask now in the mighty name of Jesus that we will every daily wake up with a fresh awareness, a fresh awakening of your love towards us. And that it is never, ever your intention to set us up for failure. But Lord, you want us to succeed. And Father, we pray that whether it's in the arena of giving or any other area of our lives, Lord, you will help us be a people who are excellent. Not because we are striving for perfection or we have OCD, but Lord, no. We are striving for excellence because we know that is what you deserve. It's what you deserve. It's what you paid the ultimate price for. And it's the least that we can do. It is the least that we can give to you. So Lord, will you help us, Lord? And Father, as we do this, I pray that the measure of faith that holds together this wonderful gift, of giving, will increase in all of our lives. And Lord, remind us that it's not about how much we give. It is about how much is in our hearts. And Lord, it's the content of our hearts that is the most important thing. So Father God, whatever you need to change in our, whatever you need to continue to change in our understanding and perspective of the management and the stewardship of the finances that you have entrusted into our care, particularly because of the last days that we are living in, Lord, will you help us do that? Will you help us change what needs to be changed? Will you help us address what needs to be addressed and just simply receive what we need to receive? Lord, I pray now across this room for anyone who has an ailment in their body. I rebuke that spirit of infirmity right now in Jesus' name. I speak to that spirit of infirmity. I speak to that pain. I speak to that arthritis, and I command you to leave that body now in the mighty name of Jesus. That is a physical body that has been purchased by the blood of Jesus. In the glaucoma, I rebuke you right now, and I command your eyes, those eyes, to be cleared and opened up right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Issues with the lungs, some kind of breathing problems. I say lungs be cleared right now. Be cleared right now. Right now, we are rebuking asthma. We are, Lord, will you come and heal asthma in all of your people, in across all of your people. Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, heal asthma, Lord. Let that dependence on inhalers be gone in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Joints right now, where there's been a locking of joints, I command those joints now to be freed up, to be loosed up in the mighty name of Jesus. Mighty name of Jesus. Where the neck has been seized, there's a limited movement in the neck area, particularly on the right side of your neck. I command that pain to leave your body, for your neck to be loosened up right now in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your glory. We thank you for your love. Amen. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one now and forevermore. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name.